Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Thursday, July the 18th, 2013. Hope you're having a good day. We are live each weekday from noon to 1 right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Like to call it Tucson's intelligent voice. Also, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. We're live streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com and podcasting to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com have our program available for you. During this news hour, or noon hour, on a newsy day, we welcome Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Then we'll talk with our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, about a referendum drive underway to oppose a law doubling school districts' bonding capacity. And we'll close out the show with our monthly segment on companion animal care. From the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson today, the topic, heat stroke in dogs. If you have a comment or a question for Councilman Steve Kay, we invite you to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can follow us on Facebook. The Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster, parentheses, Buckmaster Show. Ward 6, Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek, who is unopposed in his bid for four more years, joins us now. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, Bill?
Doing real well. I've been watching the news reports with interest about a possible downtown hotel, kind of an anchor hotel. There's talk about a Marriott. It's something we've been talking about for many, many years here in this community. Are we a step, as the Daily Star says, one step closer to making this a reality?
Oh, yeah. And not just one, but maybe two and maybe three. And these are not the 500-plus room, out-of-our-price-point kinds of hotels that we were talking about 3 and 4 years ago. What we're talking about now are niche hotels, 150 to 170 rooms at about $140 price point for the, you know, per night for the room stays. Something that really kind of fits more our demographic. That's one that's going. That's right now we're sending out for a third party analysis to see if the incentives that are being asked for pass the gift clause test. And I've seen the data. And I'm encouraged by it. I think it's going to be it's going to pass all the necessary tests, and I think we're going to get it. We have a couple more kind of in the wings that they're talking to various hotel companies right now to see if they want to be signatory to them. And so I think that this is the first of two and maybe three that you're going to see in the very near future.
What would the city's financial obligation be to this project?
The cities would not be anything. Here's what I mean by the incentives. Since 2009, we have put in place a series of financial incentives that anybody can come in by right and apply for. These are things such as waivers of permit fees, some property tax abatements for a certain period of time, and things like that. In order for us to be able to give those to a developer, the city sends out a business plan, a business model, to an independent third-party analyst, and they do a financial assessment to see whether or not the benefits back to the community exceed the incentives that are being given. If they do, then it passes the constitutional gift clause test. If we're giving away, in terms of incentives, more than what comes back to the taxpayers, we can't do it, and then we're back on the drawing board. So far we've done 7 of these incentive packages for a couple of restaurants, a couple of student housing projects, and I've seen the data on this first hotel, and they look good.
Well, it was very curious. You and Mr. Varney, Mike Varney, the head of the Metro Chamber, had these kind of dueling op-ed pieces a couple of weeks ago, and you told in your op-ed piece, you suggested to Mr. Varney to take a look within a one-mile radius of the Tucson Metro Chamber offices. You said there are currently $60 million in construction projects.
And if this one goes through, that you can bump that number up to almost $90 million. This one being the hotel. And I stand by that. And, you know, Bill, I was down at Second Saturdays last weekend, and there were probably 20,000 people down there. We have 6 or 7 new restaurants along the Congress corridor right now. This fall, we will have another 550-ish rooms in student housing at the corner of 4th and Congress. In the bottom floor of that, there are going to be 2 or 3 new retail opportunities. There's a project called One East Broadway that's going to have retail plus housing plus some office space as well going in. There's a ton going on in the downtown core. And so, you know, Mike Varney and I got into a little bit of a, as you call them, dueling op-eds. I'm just tired of, quite frankly, the guy that ought to be joining arm-in-arm with the city and promoting this place, writing an op-ed saying that we get an F for how we're handling private sector development. If that's true, you wouldn't be seeing any of these private sector dollars flowing into the downtown core. And it is a significant improvement over what was going on 6 or 7 years ago, and more recently 3 and 4 years ago, with respect to the way the city was working in a very dysfunctional fashion with the Rio Nuevo board. Now we're putting money into the TCC. Now we've got incentive packages in place that the private sector is attaching onto, and you're seeing a lot of development going on. So my message to Mr. Varney is simply step outside the door and look around, man. Take a walk from your office. Go have lunch at the Hub or Proper or Diablo Burger or at Spark Root, and go see a show at the Fox or the Rialto, and you'll see what's happening in the downtown core, and it's significant.
In Mr. Varney's op-ed, he said the city of Tucson bungled the Grand Canyon University opportunity, and you, Councilman Kasachek, contributed to the mess.
Well, okay, and so I had a meeting with Mike. Let me back up, rewind the tape a little bit. First of all, the last time I was on your show, we were having a conversation, and one of the questions was something along the lines of, "What are some of the challenges that I might see coming forward for Grand Canyon College?" I listed off several things. One of them was some of their bylaws that they have that have to do with homosexuality. I was listing off things that I thought that this community might object to, not what I would object to. And so there's another radio show or in the early mornings on your station that's been passing a lie around that was something that I had a problem with. I don't. And in fact, what I have done, in fact, on this station on at least 2 occasions, and in writing and in public speaking engagements, I have been the one who's been proposing, wouldn't it be interesting if we had the University of Arizona at one end of the streetcar route, and we found land for Grand Canyon College or University on the other end, on the west side of the freeway, bookend the streetcar route with the universities. They, Grand Canyon, are saying that they need student housing, and that increases the size of their footprint. Well, guess what? What if we diminish the size of their footprint and incentivize some student housing on the west side of the freeway? Now you've got student housing, you've got retail already going over there, you've got a university at both ends of the streetcar route. I didn't bungle that. I'm the one who's been trying to keep the conversation going. One other thing about that western terminus, if Grand Canyon wound up there, is that I mentioned a second ago the TCC. We have $8 million going into the TCC with Rio Nuevo right now. Actually, it's Rio Nuevo money, not the city's. Grand Canyon has said that they are going to lead their athletic programs up in their Phoenix area. Well, what if they brought men's and women's basketball, volleyball, gymnastics, and wrestling down here, and they became the anchor tenant at the TCC? I mean, these are the kinds of out-of-the-box thinking and creative ideas that I shared with Mr. Varney before he printed that op-ed in the Star. And to me, it's just disingenuous to run with that, that ruse that I'm the one who messed that up. El Rio was the wrong site for multiple reasons. We have a contractual obligation with conquistadors. That's an issue, a significant issue. We also have an RFP out on the street right now for running our golf operation. We have 7 very highly qualified national and international firms who have replied to that RFP, and I want to see their business plans before we cashier that property for something that would also cause us to have to violate an existing and performing agreement that we have with the conquistadors.
Does Mr. Varney also said that Grand Canyon has a sour taste in its mouth? Do you have any indication that they still might consider Tucson?
I hope that there are active conversations going on right now between the mayor, the manager, and Grand Canyon's Grand Canyon's people. I hope that there's a way forward for that. El Rio just doesn't happen to be an ideal site for the reasons I just mentioned.
Steve Kosacek with us, Tucson City Councilman in Ward 6. If you would like to speak with the councilman, if you have a question or comment, 790-2040, 790-2040. You are an outspoken guy who doesn't shy away from voicing your opinions. Did that cost you a couple of recent endorsements? Tucson Association of Realtors broke off their endorsement of your campaign. They say that they're not happy that you're not on board with the new F-35 fighter jet.
That being outspoken, or that being the Grand Canyon thing, because Grand Canyon had nothing to do with the with the realtors. Look, the F-35 is an interesting issue, and I was criticized by a couple of guys actually in the realtors who are in their public policy functions. I don't know what exactly their title is, for having simply come out and said what the federal government is saying about Tucson as a site for the F-35. The DOD, Department of Defense, did a site analysis in which they compared Boise, Idaho, Holloman Air Force Base in New Mexico, Tucson, and Luke Air Force Base. And based on their own analysis, they chose Luke. There are people in the Federal Procurement Department who said that the F-35 is quote, not affordable. And another quote was that it's on a downward death spiral. And by that, they mean that as the unit cost goes up, fewer and fewer people buy it, and that sends the unit cost up even higher. So evidently, I wasn't supposed to be quoting what the DOD and the federal procurement people are already saying. One other thing that is being lost in the conversation is that 2 weeks ago, the Department of Defense came out and said that they are going to extend the useful life and increase the production of F-16s and 18s. My sense is that we already have an F-16 training site here. It would probably be more productive if this community got behind Davis-Monthan and increasing and extending the life of our F-16 training opportunities here than trying to jump on board with an aircraft that the Department of Defense and federal procurement people all summarily say, number one, Luke is a better site, and number two, we can't afford it anyway.
Right.
So if that's what head of the realtors wants to object to, that's fine for him, but I think my approach is more rational.
All right, Councilman, we have a couple of folks who want to talk to you. We're going to ask that Roger and Roberta please stand by. We're going to take a break right now, and then the councilman will stick around for the second segment. But right now it's time to listen to the roster of people and businesses and organizations that support this program and make it possible. We ask that you support them and give them your patronage. We'll be right back.
Hey, have you noticed all the road construction in the Tucson area?
Yes, I see lots of road work.
Yeah, in fact, the Regional Transportation Authority is funding work right now for more than a dozen projects, including bus pullouts and intersections.
I sure see lots of RTA orange signs downtown and in the region.
Yeah, and I hear new RTA projects will begin soon.
Great. The RTA projects makes for better roads and safer driving for all of us.
Getting underway, the Houghton Broadway intersection. The RTA delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Road. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
You know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Weston La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and new pool and lobby areas, plus enhanced dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at WestonLaPalomaResort.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
Get back down to earth at the 2013 Silver City Clay Festival with workshops, tours, lectures, archaeological panel discussion, films, vendor fair, and three juried exhibitions with fun for the whole family. The festival kickoff event is a poker tournament fundraiser featuring genuine clay poker chips. Enjoy Clay Festival events July 27th to August 4th in Silver City, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson and 15 degrees cooler. More at clayfestival.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. On the Buckmaster Show, a Thursday edition. Now let's go to Roger. Roger, you're with Tucson City Councilman Steve Kasacek. Go ahead, Roger.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Hey, Roger.
My comment is, you people on that council have, like, the total experience of running the business that equates to about zero. You tell this university that you can invest, bring your money, your ideas, your job to one of the bottom of the pit cities as far as new business goes in this nation. And you can do it as long as you do it as we tell you. We tell you where you can move. We'll tell you where you can house your people. Now, what fool in his right mind would take all that money and invest it based upon a bunch of people that never ran a business?
Okay, Roger. Here is Councilman Kasacek. You have some real-world experience, don't you, Steve?
Years out of college, was in the private sector. You know, we are working very successfully with multiple private sector. In fact, the first 10 minutes of the show, we were talking about anywhere from $60 to $90 million worth of private sector investment that we're engaged in right now, simply in the downtown core. We had, in the month of June alone, in Ward 6 only, $60 million in permitted projects, private sector, in Ward 6 only in the month of June. So I understand Roger has an axe to grind, and he enjoys, I guess, calling these shows, but it's non-productive conversation. We're not telling them where to go. We're telling them that I'm telling them that the El Rio, suggesting to them that the El Rio site was not a good one. Let's find one that works.
Okay.
And that's the way. Site selection is something that you engage with all prospects that come in, and it's not something that it doesn't show real-world experience. It's here's what we have, here's the menu, let's find a place that works.
All right, next up on the Buckmaster Show, Roberta, you're with the councilman. Go ahead, Roberta.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I actually have two questions, if I may. My first is, my husband works downtown, and there's no pharmacy or grocery or sundry store for him to go to. Are there any plans for a sundry type of store, like a Walgreens or a CVS, to go downtown?
Okay. Why don't you ask the second one, too, and I'll hit them
both. Then the second one is, so much energy and time and money is being dedicated to downtown. You said $60 to $90 million, but what about the rest of the community?
Okay. Good questions. First of all, the pharmacy, grocery. I have heard that there is a interest in a Whole Foods that may be going into the downtown core there right now. Those are grocery stores. We've checked into this, too. Grocery stores are really, really data-driven. And what a grocery outlet will do is that they will look at the numbers of bodies that are in a particular area, and they will run the numbers, and they'll say, you know, you finally hit the tipping point, and therefore we're interested. As you see some of these student housing projects and some of the market-rate housing projects go in into the downtown core, then you will then see those data shift in the direction that the grocery stores and the other, you know, the other retail outlets that you're talking about, CVS, Walgreens, may the numbers will start to make sense to them. Those are very unique, the grocery in particular. Those are very unique retail outlets because they just look at numbers. And so, you know, that, but I have heard that a Whole Foods is looking at a possible location in the downtown core. As far as the rest of the community is concerned, we just opened up here in the last, 4 months ago out at the Broadway Craycroft area that we used to be the Mervyn's. We've got work going on out there. We have incentives that we have to apply only into what's called a central business district. They are only allowable in a central business district. But in fact, Ward 6 is, you know, we're talking about that because that's what I represent. But I know we've got a lot of private sector development that's going out on the Far East Side as well. We're also trying to incentivize work with TOSD and trying to bring some of the vacant school buildings back into play. And so there, you know, I'm speaking about the downtown area and the Ward 6 area because that's what I represent. But any of the other council members could come on here and talk about private sector permitted development that's happening all over the community. Before I forget this, though, I did want to, before we run out of time, Bill, if you'd let promote an event that I am hosting, and it relates, because I just mentioned TOSD.
Yes.
On September the 5th, I've invited H.T. Sanchez and Lee Lambert. H.T. is the new TOSD superintendent, and Lee Lambert is the new chancellor at Pima College, to come to a town hall at the Ward 6 office at September the 5th at 5:30, from 5:30 to 7. And the reason for that is that education is so key to all the private sector groups that we're trying to get to move into this community and simply to our success as a community. And so this is going to be an opportunity for the general public to come and meet these guys and just kind of a meet-and-greet Q&A, and we'll provide all the refreshments. All the people need to do is just show up, and and I'll be promoting it. I think it's really important that we, as a community, come behind our educational institutions. We've gone through some rocky times lately, and let's start putting that in a positive trajectory also.
We had Chancellor Lambert on the program last week. We have H.T. Sanchez, the new TUSD superintendent, on the program tomorrow. Very impressed so far with Chancellor Lambert. Let's work Chris in. Chris has been waiting patiently. Real quickly, Chris, with Councilman Steve Kay. Go ahead.
Yeah, Councilman, I found it amusing that you called Roger's comments unproductive and said he had an axe to grind. I guess if you don't agree with what somebody's saying, then you just belittle what they have to say. But I also wanted to mention that I guess Sam's Club wasn't the right venue. The F-35 isn't right for us. Liquor license for Walmart isn't right for us. Don't try to pretend that you're pro-business. Everybody's wise to you.
Okay. Any remarks to that, or did you want to?
No. Okay. No, not worth it.
Tucson Pension System, I wanted to get to this. We don't really have time. We had the people from Pete Zimmerman was on the program, the Committee for Sustainable Retirement Benefits. It looks like the city voters will be trying to decide whether or not to make a decision about changing the employee pension system. I'm sorry I don't have more time for this, but generally, do you agree with the Committee for Sustainable Retirement Benefits that if nothing's done, the city will face financial ruin?
How much time do we have?
I've only got, can you do it in 1 minute?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead.
First of all, we have the specific question on defined contribution. I think it was irresponsible of Zimmerman's to put that on the ballot before they had done their homework. In a Q&A that they exchanged with the Arizona Daily Star, one of their possible solutions was to spend $180 million out of the general fund immediately to balance things. That just means you haven't done your homework. My concern with the defined contribution proposal that's going on the ballot is within the next decade it'll crash the system that's in place right now. We have to do something about it, but you don't kill the patient to cure the disease.
Would you be willing to debate Mr. Zimmerman on this before this thing goes on the ballot?
Oh, I hope we have an extensive education process between now and the time it goes on the ballot.
Okay, Councilman, thank you very much for spending a half hour with us. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
With SRN News, I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. A top defense official says the National Security Agency is implementing new security measures because of the disclosures by former NSA systems analyst Edward Snowden. Deputy Defense Secretary Ashton Carter says system administrators like Snowden must now work with a colleague when accessing sensitive, compartmented intelligence of the kind that Snowden linked to the media. The Senate Judiciary Committee has unanimously approved the nomination of James Comey to be the director of the FBI. This clears the way for a full Senate vote as early as next week. Ben Bernanke says it is not the Federal Reserve's role to try and force Congress to take any particular action, but the Fed chief has told the Senate Banking Committee that Congress should do more to help the U.S. economy. On Wall Street at last check, the Dow was up 74 points, the Nasdaq was up 3. This is SRN News.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
At Cox Business, we don't cook the entrees, but we are in the restaurant business. Just ask Kirsten Traina, co-owner of the Liberty Market Restaurant.
Power burger with cheddar.
She prefers doing business with local suppliers, including produce from a local farm, and internet and phone service from Cox Business. She counts on us for reliable internet, with speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL and feature-rich business phone service.
Margarita pizza.
And our award-winning local support team is available 24/7. Visit CoxBusiness.com to get business internet select and phone for only $99 per month. Plus, ask about next day professional installation.
A carrot cake.
That's for me. Switch to Cox Business today and see how your business is our business. Offer valid until 9/30/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on max download speed of Cox Business Internet service 150 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second service. Other restrictions may apply. Next day install subject to availability. Eligibility restrictions may apply.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com.
Yeah! Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
After show on this Thursday afternoon, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Over in Silver City this weekend, it's the annual Hummingbird Festival. Should be a lot of fun. That will be at the Little Toad Creek Inn and Tavern near Lake Roberts on the way to the world-famous Gila Cliff Dwellings north of Silver City. There are really many, many nice places to stay in the area, including Pinos Altos Cabins, Wildwood Retreat, and Hot Springs. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico at southwestnewmexico.org. We welcome now to the Buckmaster Show on the live line our contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Dr. Hendricks is the former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctoral level, the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District. Dr. Hendricks was named Arizona's top school superintendent in 1989. Dr. Hendricks, good to talk with you.
Good talking to you, Bill.
And speaking of superintendents, we will get a chance. I'll have my first opportunity to meet the new Tucson Unified School District Superintendent, Mr. H.T. Sanchez, will be with us on our Friday Focus interview tomorrow. What are some of the keys, Bob Hendricks, that Mr. Sanchez needs to keep in mind as he hits the ground running to not only win the support of the TUSD board and community, but the community at large?
Well, Bill, I think hitting the ground running is the key phrase there because, you know, one doesn't get to choose to, you know, start from the beginning in this process. You may be beginning as a superintendent, but the ongoing series of events in any organization are exactly that. And so you join in at whatever point the operation is, and I oftentimes, with a new superintendent, offer this kind of advice. The first thing one realizes is when you're working for a governing board, you have many bosses. You have as many bosses as there are school board members. And in this case, the superintendent has five employers, and each one of them has probably a slightly or maybe even very different vision of where the district is heading. And so my first suggestion to a new superintendent is that that he dialogue individually with some real quality time with each board member to determine, you know, their own vision, their own goals, and their own priorities for the district, and probably equally important, their expectations for his leadership. So I think those individual conversations need to take place very early on. They may be ongoing right now, as far as I know. Secondly, I think there needs to be a collective meeting of the five board members and the superintendent so that they can work out that relationship that's going to be really key to superintendent on and board ongoing relationships. And so for them to sit down and develop a strategy and also figure out how they're going to work together, because it really does involve, as you know, a lot of give and take. And if there's going to be a relationship that's going to be positive and fruitful, then the superintendent and the board really need to know, you know, what their respective roles are, what they look like on paper, and how they work them out personally. Maybe two very different things, but for the superintendent to be successful, I think that relationship is going to be one of the key priorities to getting a good start.
Dr. Robert Hendricks with us, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. You know, Bob, it is unusual that a couple of our top educational institutions here in Southern Arizona, TUSD, which of course is a huge educational institution, and Pima Community College, both having new leaders who I believe both started on the 1st of July. We yep. interviewed Chancellor Lee Lambert, spent a half hour with him last week, and I was very impressed with this gentleman. He has a very big job, but he may be exactly what this community needs to start healing some wounds over at Pima Community College.
Exactly.
Do you have a quick comment on that, or do you want to move on?
I just think that, you know, in both leadership positions, early on, the leaders need to gather some footing, and of course, the tapestry is quite huge, and for them to really kind of get a grasp of the operation is very, very difficult. And to get to know the key leaders in their organization, both starting with their cabinet as well as all the participants, you know, take a really, really long time. But ultimately, I think beginning with the governing boards of those respective organizations and understanding what's expected, it's usually a conversation that is just brushed, you know, through quite lightly, you know, within the interview process, and now it's going to be really, really important that those relationships are forged and built.
And we're going to have Calvin Baker, who is the superintendent of the highly recognized educational district, the Vail School District. He will be with us on Monday. Don't really have a lot of time for this. It's a pretty complicated issue, but there is a referendum getting underway on school debt limit. The organizers oppose the law, Bob Hendricks, that doubles the district's bonding capacity. Is this a big deal? The public may not understand.
It's a huge deal. Yeah. And, you know, there's for those people who have followed it, and obviously those in the legislature and in the business of education have, it's really been a history of broken promises. I mean, we started with a piece of legislation called Students First in, I believe it was 1999, you know, some 13, 14 years ago, that really promised that the legislature would provide funding for schools to meet minimum standards for their physical buildings, and included internet connectivity and computers and library books, and then also renewal funds that would be provided upon application for districts for new roofs and air conditioning systems and all things that aging schools, you know, really require. And then also, and this would certainly apply to Vail and other growing districts, there would be a standard to provide a basic amount of money for the building of new schools. And now the legislature has rescinded all of those promises. And so in addition to this referendum that says that there's not going to be the guaranteed dollars, it's really forcing schools to compete for money. They're talking about a limited amount of money now on a grant basis, and there's not going to be any assurance of a minimum standard for schools, both schools that are aging and schools, districts that are growing. And the legislature is saying, sorry, we don't have the money. And now they want to, as aptly described in the Arizona Daily Star, they want to put it back on the taxpayers and the governing boards, who are actually going to have to, if this referendum passes, they're going to have to go back to the people, their constituents, and say, sorry, we're the ones that are going to have to ask you for this money because the legislature is no longer going to fund it.
All right, we're out of time. Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you, as usual, some of your insights on some of the key education issues. Thanks a lot, Bob.
Thank you.
All right, coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, the Thursday edition, one of my favorite topics, talking about our friends, our companion animals, a real serious topic for all of our dog owners listening, and I know there are a lot of them. Heat stroke in dogs. That will be our topic as we continue with the Buckmaster Show right after this.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here. Aren't you?
John Fina.
You're
Jim Levinsky.
I know that face.
Bruce Beach.
Hey there.
Billy Flower.
Great to see you.
Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you.
Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
Casey Polipchak.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
Diana Cannon.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
You know that face.
Mike Fader.
Aren't you?
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Once a month here on the program, we focus on animal care issues. The segment is about specialty animal care, presented by Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is located in a beautiful facility at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road, and on the web at vscot.com. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, specialty vets for special pets. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, one of those specialty vets, a special vet dealing in emergency and critical care issues, she is Dr. Liz Williams. Dr. Williams, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. I want to talk to you a little bit about heat stroke in dogs. We hear a lot about heat strokes in humans, and I'm not really sure exactly what is heat stroke. And perhaps you can explain what it is and how it pertains to animals.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and it happens unfortunately far too often in some of our patients, especially in these hotter summer months. Basically, the condition of heat stroke is when the body temperature rises so high that it can cause cell damage, and then that damage interferes with the body's ability to actually regulate its own temperature.
How does a dog get heat stroke? I mean, is it pretty much the same as what would affect those of us with two legs?
It can be. Again, it can be from the higher temperatures that we definitely can suffer through here down in southern Arizona. It can also be from high humidity. So during this monsoon season, we can see a lot more cases of it for sure. Unfortunately, it can also be if dogs don't have access to water. And lastly, the most important, I think, is that in areas, if they're confined to an area of poor ventilation, and we see that a lot, unfortunately, dogs who are left in a vehicle. To give us kind of an idea, you can have a dog in the temperature in a closed car. Basically, indirect sunlight can exceed 120 degrees Fahrenheit in less than 20 minutes when it's only 75 degrees outside. So it doesn't take a long time, unfortunately, for a dog to get pretty sick. And in less than an hour, a dog could actually die.
That's very serious. And putting an animal in a hot car this time of year really is a horrible thing to contemplate. Is it illegal, by the way, to leave your dog in a vehicle in Arizona?
It is illegal, actually. According to Arizona state law, it's a criminal offense for anyone to intentionally, knowingly, or even recklessly leave an animal unattended in a confined motor vehicle, especially if physical injury to or death of the animal is likely to result.
Dr. Liz Williams is with us on the Buckmaster Show. She is an emergency and critical care special at the award-winning Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Let's get back now to heat stroke as far as what are some of the early signs? How does heat stroke present itself in a patient?
Well, if you're concerned at all that your dog might be showing signs, some of the early signs, your dog will start panting, might salivate excessively, their heart rate starts to elevate pretty significantly. If you were to lift up their gums, you'll notice that their gums become kind of a dark red color. And then, of course, if you were to take their temperature is quite elevated. Normal temperature for a dog is usually between about 100 to 102.5, and we'll see some dogs coming in with 105, 106, some, unfortunately, they come in so sick and the temperature doesn't even register any further.
Oh, it's horrible. So as far as the late signs, and these would be the signs that you would see by the time the dog owner brings the animal to the veterinary specialty center. So what are some of the signs that present at this later stage?
And this is the unfortunate part, is a lot of times these later signs are an indication that the dog has gone into pretty significant shock. So lifting up those lips, the gums are no longer red. They've actually turned kind of a light pink or sometimes even a white color. Mm. They've started breathing pretty heavily, hyperventilating. Their tongues might be turning a bluish-purple color. They can start vomiting, having diarrhea, and there can be blood in that as well. Their pupils, the black portion of their eyes, can get pretty big and dilated, and they can even start acting kind of abnormally, might be stumbling around or just seeming a little bit not right. Worst case, they collapse, and some can even go into a coma.
Dr. Williams, what would be the way, what would you and your colleagues, how would you try to save the animal at that point?
Well, the first thing, even before they get to us, you can try to cool them down with some tepid water. You don't want to do ice water, unfortunately, because that can actually slow the cooling process. And you can put a fan on the animal as you're driving them to our facility, because the earlier and the more aggressive care that we can get them, the better chance we have of trying to prevent further complications. Once they get here, depending on the severity of the patient, so it's kind of on a case-by-case basis, some can require some pretty aggressive care. And days of hospitalization. And unfortunately, some can be so far gone that there may not be a lot that we can do for them.
So it's very important, I think, bottom line, keep your animal well hydrated. If it's in the backyard, make sure the animal has shade, right?
I think that's a huge key. And if you have to leave them out, which, again, ideally it would be great to keep them inside with you with the air conditioning, but they have to have access to water. They have to have access to a shaded area, and they have to have access to good ventilation.
I want to go back to, we were talking about being illegal to leave your dog in a vehicle, and it's also illegal to tether the dog outside with no shelter, shade, or water. What could happen to a pet owner if law enforcement finds he or she left alone in a hot vehicle?
This is pretty significant for sure. Arizona is definitely one of the states that has, the law is kind of protecting dogs because it's so hot down here. And if someone were found guilty of intentionally leaving a dog in a car, it can actually be a felony. And they can be sentenced potentially up to multiple years in jail. Now, there are, unfortunately, some who accidentally, or they think it's going to be fine for a few minutes just to run into the store, but they can still be found guilty of recklessly leaving their dog in a car, and that's found as a misdemeanor, and they can still serve jail time, sometimes up to 6 months, or get probation, or have to pay a pretty significant fine just for doing that. So it's really important to leave the dogs at home.
What can we do as concerned citizens if we were to see an animal trapped in a vehicle, or for that matter, Dr. Williams, tethered outside with no shelter, shade, or water? What could we or what should we do?
Well, what the Animal Cruelty Task Force is actually asking the public is to either contact 911 or the Pima Animal Care Center, and you can contact them at 520-243-5900 and leave it up to them to make sure that the authorities get to the animal and get the care that's needed for that animal.
I want to talk a little bit about, it's always fascinating for me on these monthly conversations to talk with you and your colleagues about why they went into veterinary medicine. What was your story? Why did, obviously you love animals, but was there something that triggered it for you?
I don't have the one trigger. I think I just have all the fond memories. We've always had a dog when I was growing up, and so just those memories of taking the dog in with my family and having that bond with the veterinarian and just kind of watching what they were doing. It's definitely, it's one of those careers that you look forward to, and I feel very lucky that I'm able to do that.
Well, there, I know you love cats, too, because there's a nice picture of you on the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson website, you holding a very handsome-looking cat. So I think you also love cats as well, probably, right?
Definitely do. Definitely do. Yes, he's one of my got him when I was still an undergrad in college. He's a good boy. He's becoming a little bit of an old man right now.
All right. Dr. Williams, a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Dr. Liz Williams with us from Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, an award-winning facility open 24/7 and recognized as the best place to bring your sick or injured pet. They're located at North La Cañada Drive and West River Road. They have a beautiful facility. I think it's an award-winning, in fact, I know it is, an award-winning, architecturally very pleasing site, and they're on the web at vscot.com. The Buckmaster Show thanks Culligan Water. Culligan Better Water, pure and simple. We thank Culligan Water for their support, supplying us and our guests with a cooling bottle of Culligan Water. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. They will be here in the KVOI studios from 6 to 8. We'll be back at 12:04. And again, our special guest, we will meet the superintendent, the new superintendent of the Tucson Unified School District, Mr. H.T. Sanchez. Dr. Sanchez, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.